This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, football,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From KMOX Sports.
A swing and there's a high fly ball.
This is the Graybar Sports Open Line.
That's hit to deep left field. It might go. It's a goner.
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
A goner for Burleson.
Now, live from Jupiter, Florida, and the home of the Cardinals spring training, it's Matt Pauley. Sponsored by St. Louis Composting, Wilkie Window and Door, and Norm's Bargain Barn. On your voice of the St. Louis Cardinals. KMOX.
Sounds like roads are terrible and it's cold and snowy in St. Louis. Hopefully you were able to have yourself a day at home, possibly. We don't want you being out on the roads if you don't have to be. It's a little bit warmer here in Florida as we do welcome you in to a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauley. It's great to have you with us today. We'll take you for the next 2 hours till 8 o'clock tonight. This is our only full two-hour show this week as far as Sports Open Line. We'll have countdown to opening day coming up tomorrow night from 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock, but we'll get done earlier. We may not even have a show at all coming up on Friday due to Billiken's basketball. So we've got a lot to get to here today. A big day in Jupiter. It was the first official workout for pitchers and catchers. A number of position players were out there as well today, but it was the first time that pitchers and catchers had been going through mandatory work, and that included a good number of pitchers getting onto the mound and throwing their initial bullpen sessions of this spring. So it was really good. I mean, you think about the sounds of baseball. We started to hear it a little bit today. There continues to be a fair amount of optimism internally about this team. I think externally, there's not much optimism. This kind of goes back to what I've talked about for the last couple weeks, that I would contend that the Cardinals' ceiling and the Cardinals' floor, there's about as wide of a gap between those two things as there probably is with just about any team in Major League Baseball. This team, you can see the equation for this team overachieving and having a pretty solid season. And you can also see the equation for this team just not playing well at all and really having a pretty bad season. But internally, inside of that clubhouse, on those fields, there's a lot of guys who believe that this team is going to play better than a lot of people are giving them credit for. And it all starts now because the next 6 weeks are going to be spent getting ready for a season. First Grapefruit League game is going to come up in about a week and a half. Next weekend is when that gets started. The first full squad workout will be on Monday. And that means first full squad report day is on Sunday, but the full squad report day is coming up on Sunday. And the big question is, does Nolan Arenado show up to Jupiter, Florida as a member of the St. Louis Cardinals? And nobody really knows the answer to that right now. I continue to believe that he is not going to come to Jupiter. I continue to believe that a deal is going to end up getting done shortly after Alex Bregman signs his deal, which I think will probably happen at some point this week. But I could be wrong on that. I'm the same guy who sat here on this radio station and told you that I was pretty convinced that Arenado would be moved before New Year's Day. And obviously I got that one wrong. I give myself a little bit of a mulligan on that one because they had a deal done with Houston and he turned it down. So I wasn't expecting that from him. But the point being is I didn't think he would still be a Cardinal, and he still is. And here we are where they're at a point where they got to get it figured out. So coming up next hour in the 7 o'clock hour, we're going to spend much of the hour going back through what both President of Baseball Operations John Mozeliak and manager Oliver Marmol said today, because they each had their start of spring training press conferences, and they each talked for about 15, 20 minutes, cut up a bunch of that audio, and we'll play that for you, and I'll give you my thoughts on some of the things that they said. But if you want to get a good primer for where the team is at right now, according to Mozeliak and Marmol, we'll be able to give that to you coming up next hour for sure. This Arenado thing, though, Mo today, you'll hear it if you stick with us, and I hope you do. Mo today essentially said that they still intend to trade Arenado, but it has not gone the way that they expected it to go. Talked about market forces continuing to impact things. I think that's in reference to the Bregman deal not yet getting done, but the team is kind of stuck in this situation where there are some things that they want to accomplish this year, and they may not be able to accomplish them with Arenado on the team. And it's very much connected to giving some players an opportunity and giving some players a certain number of at-bats and things like that. Is the team better with Arenado than without Arenado? I think you can make that argument. There's no guarantee of that. It kind of depends on whether or not Arenado is going to have a bit of a bounce back season. If he's the same guy he was offensively this past season, I don't think it's that big of a difference. Now, obviously, you can make the argument that he is the greatest defensive third baseman in the history of Major League Baseball. If he's not that, he's in the conversation. He's top three, top five at the very least. And he still plays high-level defense. He's not the best defensive third baseman in all of Major League Baseball anymore, but he still gives you elite high-level defense at third base, and there's value to that. So if he leaves, no matter what, the defense is not going to be as good. And that is going to be a storyline for this season, especially when you consider the fact that you're going to have Wilson Contreras over at first base. Paul Goldschmidt saved a lot of errors, and that's something that Contreras probably is not going to be able to do. Now, Contreras should be able to more than make up for that with his bat, but there's going to be some more misplays on the infield for sure as a result of not having one of the best defensive first basemen out there. So we got a lot to get to, including a conversation with Bernie Miklas. He's going to join us coming up in just a moment. Don't go anywhere. It's a Gray Bar Sports Open Line as we broadcast from Jupiter, Florida, here on KMOX. It's a Gray Bar Sports Open Line. We are continuing to broadcast from Jupiter, Florida, and Cardinals spring training. My name is Matt Pauly, taking you until 8 o'clock this evening. Again, coming up in the 7 o'clock hour, we're going to go through just about everything that John Mozeliak and Oliver Marmol had to say today, as each of those individuals held a beginning of a spring training media session with us, the assembled media here in Florida. Let's go to the guest line right now. Very happy to welcome on to the program, part of our team. You see him on the Gas House Gang. Of course, he's part of he does his own YouTube channel at the Bernie Show, which is a absolute must subscribe to. He is Bernie Miklas. Bernie, always appreciate taking some time. How are you,
Matt? Doing well, man. Good to know you're down there in spring training, keeping track of everything, and you're on the Nolan Arenado watch, which it's going to continue on, it looks like.
It is, and I know you read or listened to much of what was said today from both Mo and Ali. So I'll ask you, what stood out to you from their introductory comments today?
Well, I appreciate John Mozeliak's candor, as far as, he's not trying to mislead anyone into thinking something's imminent or that he's got a lot of confidence. I think he, if you go back in time, I think he probably regrets making an Arenado trade sound a lot more likely than it was. But I also think maybe he got some bad information along the way, and that happens. But my thing is just, prepare for the fact that Arenado might be with the Cardinals. I mean, Matt, you know this, man. I've been talking about it. I've written about it. I've done a couple of videos on it. I mean, if Nolan Arenado is the Cardinals' third baseman this year, yeah, there are ramifications. It's going to mean less opportunity for other players. We've all gone through that a bunch of times. But it's there are a lot of worse things you can have than Nolan Arenado playing third base. So he's still one of the very best defenders in the game at that position. He was above average offensively, not much above average, but above average. His bat speed improved late in the season. His numbers in July and August were good. I was surprised to go back and look at some of the things from last year, you know, and find, you know, discover the last couple seasons, especially last year, Nolan Arenado hit very, very well at Busch Stadium. So he's still a player that brings value to your team. And I think the expectation level that he would be traded, you know, has sort of created this feeling that, well, this is boy, this has all gone wrong. To an extent it has, but again, it's not like this is a dire situation where everything is going to fall apart if he plays for the Cardinals, because I think he'll be a pro. He'll show up and do his job. And if he wants to get traded, say at the trade deadline, he's going to be highly motivated to have the very best season that he can.
Yeah, there's some truth to that, Bernie, because if you're Nolan Arenado and you're only iffy on one of these teams that might be interested in you, but you feel like if you can come out and start the season and have a really strong start, then there might be some of those teams that you're more interested in being on that maybe they would be interested in you. There Sure. is the opportunity to bet on himself if he wants to do that.
And if he's having a good year and if there's some injuries, not that we wish injuries on any other teams, that's not the point, but injuries do happen. If there's some injuries, that you know, the Cardinals might actually have a market for him at some point during the season, and if it's closer to the deadline. So there might be more possibilities. But I listen, if he gets traded, that's fine. That's good. But if he's not traded, you know, I'd rather kind of look at ways that that helps the team, you know. So because I've never really believed that this is a full reset anyway. I think it's like a partial reset. And yeah, this would make it more difficult to find enough at bats for some people. But Nolan Arenado, if the goal is to win in 2025, Nolan Arenado helps you win. He was, you know, more than three wins above replacement again last season, and that was in a down year offensively.
I'm not overly convinced of it, Bernie, but it's kind of a 51-49 type thing. I think he gets moved, and I don't think he reports to Jupiter. I think they get something done shortly after Bregman signs his deal.
Yeah, when will that be, though? And by knows? The way, I know you're not in charge of that. I'm just saying. I just don't know when Scott Boras plans to release his client. You know,
it's frustrating.
It is.
Yeah. I don't understand if you're Alex Bregman and you're sitting here on February 12th, is anybody really going to add that many more No. years or that much more money to the deal? Like, the deals are the deals. Make your decision, man.
You know, listen, the Houston Astros offered him a really good deal to stay 6 years and $156 million. It may not be exactly what he wanted. But if you talk about settling for deals that maybe weren't what they wanted, Pete Alonso had the common sense to realize, hey, this is going to be the best I'll get, and I really want to stay with the Mets, so I'm going to bet on myself on a two-year deal. And if you look at Alex Bregman, man, listen, he's a really good player. He's a really good player. But there's some alarm bells with him that to your point, my friend, where, you know, it's not like people are going to say, okay, well, let's offer him a lot more to get him here. You know, he's going to be 31 soon. Not that that's ancient. That's not the point I'm making. But if you look at some things, you know, for example, his walk rate collapsed last season. And, you know, that's always kind of a sign you pay attention to with hitters that are turning a little older. And, you know, there's some things about in his offensive profile, still really good, don't get me wrong. But, you know, maybe there are some minor indicators of a decline that's coming. And I think teams probably, well, I know they got to be reluctant to give him 5 or 6 years because he's going to be 31 in a matter of, on March the 30th. So nobody wants to tie up and get into a long-term contract for a player who may, halfway through it, may start to really decline as a player.
We always pay attention to what John Heyman says when it comes to Boras agents because Uh-oh. We know how connected he is to him. Heyman keeps saying it's going to be the Cubs or it's most likely to be the Cubs. What does that do for this division? Does that if he ends up as a Chicago Cub, Bernie, does that make them the easy favorite in the division?
Yeah, I think they already are even without him. I think they've done some quietly good work with their bullpen. You know, Kyle Tucker's a heck of a player. And they've added some depth. I think they're already the team to beat. And I know Milwaukee, we've all made the mistake of counting them out or overlooking them. But the Brewers have had an awfully quiet offseason as far as adding to what they had, and they've lost a couple of good players. I think clearly this is the Cubs' division to lose, and if they get Bregman, even more so. And I think the second season of Craig Counsell will be a big difference. He's made some coaching staff changes. He's more comfortable and aware and confident in what he has there, and knowing how to kind of navigate the whole Cubs experience. So if Tom Ricketts, who's – listen, that team's incredibly wealthy. If he ponies up a lot of money on a short-term deal with Bregman, like he did kind of with Bellinger and some others in the past, where maybe you give him $30 million a year this year and next year, I don't see why Bregman wouldn't take that.
Yeah, it's you said something there that was interesting that I don't know if everybody's aware of. So the Brewers had locked all of Council's coaches into a 2-year deal going into this past season. I think they knew there was a chance Council was going to walk away, and they didn't want him taking all the coaches with him. So all those guys were locked into another year, and they couldn't leave. And then he goes into Chicago. He essentially just keeps Ross's coaching staff and doesn't make any changes. If you're a manager, you want your guys in the room with you. And to your point, he has been able to bring in some of his coaches, and I think that does play out in a positive way.
And no doubt about it, because they all know each other very well, and there's a comfort and a confidence and a familiarity them working with each other, because they're obviously very good. I'm not going to use the cliche that Craig Counsell was like a duck out of water last year, but I think the move was more difficult than he would have envisioned. I think it was not a totally comfortable fit last season. It'll be a very comfortable fit this season.
We're talking with Bernie Miklas here on a Sports Open Line, talking mostly Cardinals baseball here. I was happy to hear Oliver Marmol spend as much time as he did today talking about Ivan Herrera and his offensive potential, and how they're so excited to see the work that he did in the offseason defensively and how that could play out. Bernie, I know we're like-minded on the belief that Herrera, with that bat, needs to be in the lineup more often than not, despite so many people thinking that Páez is going to be the guy. And if, gun to my head, I'm probably thinking that Páez is going to get more of an opportunity. But the first comments made today by Ali talking so highly of Herrera's bat made me feel good about that possibility.
And Herrera worked really, really, really hard. He continues to work hard at improving his throwing mechanics so he can get rid of the ball faster and also get more zip on it. And that's the type of thing that should be rewarded as well, because you want a player, if he's got flaws, you want that player to be utterly hungry and determined to correct those flaws. So he has shown a great attitude. And he was the best. He was one of the best hitters, age 24 or less, in baseball last season. And they need his bat in lineup. So I would hope that we'll look up. You and I will be talking on a Sports Open Line or a Gas House Gang in August or so, and we'll see Ivan Herrera with 400 plus at bats and growing. Because I think he's got a chance to be a really special player offensively. And you can live with average defense behind the plate if that's the case.
The other major storyline today that I found to be interesting, I think Benjamin Hockman was writing a column about this, which is why it got focused in on so much. But there's a lot of people asking about Michael McGreevy, and if those top five starters in Gray, Fetty, Pallante, Michaelis, and Matz, if those five guys are all effective in spring and all come out healthy, and those are big ifs, and McGreevy is the same way, how do they find McGreevy in there? Is it a six-man rotation? Is it Matz to the bullpen? But it seems like something that we've talked about on the Gas House Gang a lot, that's a narrative that seems to be growing to other media sources as well.
And I noticed, Ale Marmol was asked about a six-man rotation would actually make a lot of sense for the Cardinals. And that's a way to get some of your young guys in the mix. And I'm not going to say where they would take the ball every fifth day, but they would at least be part of the mix and getting some experience. And meanwhile, it might help some of your other pitchers lessen the risk of injuries. I think some more progressive organizations are thinking that the six-man rotation is one way to solve some issues. I think the Cardinals have a situation where it would make sense to at least try that. I didn't get the sense that they're real fired up about that. I'm going to stick to this prediction, and the prediction will change, obviously, if someone is injured or someone is just awful. I'm talking about starting pitchers. McCreevy will open the season in the bullpen. I hope I'm wrong about that. I just don't think that things are aligning in a way where they're going to say, oh, we have to put him in the rotation. And that really bothers me because they invested a first-round draft pick in him, and they were patient with him as he migrated his way through the minors, and he wasn't always all that hot for a guy drafted in the first round, but he made some changes. He worked on his pitching. He sharpened his craft. He came up with a better shape on, some of his out pitches, and all of a sudden they saw exactly what they had in him last year, and he was outstanding at Memphis, especially the second half of the season. So what more does a guy have to do to earn a chance to be in the starting rotation? What more do you want from a guy who's drafted first and who you gave the ball to last season? And every single time he had the ball, he impressed you, and all you did was rave about him. So what does he have to do to get a rotation spot?
Yeah, Bernie, I hope you're wrong, and I think you hope you're wrong too, because
sure, I do.
We've seen the Cardinals do the thing before where they yo-yo a guy between the rotation and the bullpen and do wacky things like maybe a guy's going to be available to pitch out of the bullpen on his side day and stuff. Like, all you do is screw a guy up when you do that. If he's not going to be in the big league rotation, get him back to Memphis and let him start every fifth day. I want no business of him being in the bullpen.
I'm 100% with you, but I know the Cardinals, and I know they say one thing, and I know what their history tells us. They screwed up Zach Thompson that way. They screwed up Libitor, or at least they stunted his progress that way. And I would hate to think that they'll do it to McGreevy, because I think Libitor, if they commit to him as a reliever, I think he has a chance to be a lights-out reliever. But they've never given him like a set thing where it's like, all right, you're in the bullpen no matter what. Don't worry about us moving you all around no matter what. I'm just concerned because I've seen the repercussions of when they've done this, when they've had a talented guy and they move him back and forth, bullpen rotation, Memphis, St. Louis. And I hope that they don't do the same thing with McGreevy. I really do. I think it'll set off all kinds of alarms. And it's going to be really interesting to see whether they've learned from their mistakes or not. I think that's a big Frankly, I like Ollie, but I think that's one of the things he's going to have to prove in 2025, which he has learned, that he indeed has learned from some of the things perhaps he could have done better in the past.
Well, I'm keeping you a little long here, and I'm sorry, but when he talked about Libertor today, even though he's being stretched out as a starter here at the beginning, it was clear with he basically said he only ends up as a starter if it hits the fan. They are getting Libby ready to be a bullpen guy and a bullpen guy only. So hopefully that's a sign of other things to come. But I don't know.
Yep. Yeah. I think Libby will really take off as a reliever as long as they leave him alone down there, because I think he's a guy who can out games for you, in the situation where if a Ryan Helsley moves on or he's traded or whatever. I think Libertor's got some closer stuff. So just let him grow into that role.
Bernie, we always encourage people to go to your YouTube channel at The Bernie Show. You do 1 to 2 videos every single day, going deep on a lot of topics, and you've got great content now with spring training getting underway. So folks should check that every day. And of course, our conversations being brought to you by Saliga Heating and Cooling.
Yeah, and I'm always proud to talk about Saliga Heating and Cooling on the Gas House Gang and here on Sports Open Line, because they've been great to us. We've been with Saliga for 16 years. This is a family-owned business, 4 generations of Saligas. They've been taking care of generations of St. Louis family since 1927, and they are an independent American Standard heating and air conditioning dealer. And in our experience, 100% trustworthiness. I mean, the integrity is impeccable. They don't upsell you. They don't try to hustle. They don't try to talk you into stuff you don't need. In our experience, and I know in the experience of a lot of St. Louis families, Saliga Heating and Cooling will actually solve your problem, but they'll suggest a cheaper way, at least less expensive way, to get it done. And when you have someone you're doing business with like that, man, you savor the fact that you have a relationship with them. And when you call them, you're going to have a great outcome, and they're not going to play any games. And they also have that American Standard equipment, which is the industry standard. One other thing is financing options are available. And I also want you to check out the Priority Club. It's a maintenance program that's really, really, really good. We've been in it for several years, and it has saved us money and given us peace of mind. But for more deals on that and everything else, plus the phone number, go to SaligaHeatingAndCooling.com, SaligaHeatingAndCooling.com. Thank you.
It's a Gray Bar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. We are in Jupiter, Florida. Cardinals spring training today, a big day. It was the first official workout with pitchers and catchers. Full squad reporting on Sunday. First full squad workout coming up on Monday. But many position players are already here. Heard some rumblings. I'm not reporting this. I just heard some rumblings from people talking that if an Arenado deal does not get done, we would probably see him earlier than Sunday on the report day, but there's no guarantee of that. And again, that's just kind of listening into what some people are saying. So we'll see. Either way, I know the expectation is, and John Mozeliak talked about this today, the expectation is that if Nolan Arenado is still a Cardinal, when it's time for him to report, he indeed is going to report. Mo made the comment that baseball is a sport that doesn't have holdouts. It's not like football. It's not like other sports where players hold out. You don't hold out in baseball, so you show up, and that will be the expectation if a deal to move him is not done. And again, that's not in all likelihood happening until an Alex Bregman deal is done, or if there is a team out there that knows for 100% sure that they are not going to be in the Bregman sweepstakes, so they're able to move on to their secondary plans. A little bit of news today off the field. According to a report from Mark Feinsand from MLB.com, the Cardinals got two results of their salary arbitration cases. Lars Nootbaar reportedly won his arbitration case. He had filed for $2.95 million. The Cardinals had filed at $2.45 million. So it looks like he is going to make just under $3 million this season. A lot of players not that many players win their arbitration hearings. So Nootbaar wins his. Unfortunately for Brendan Donovan, he does not win his, as he lost to the Cardinals. He had filed for $3.3 million. Instead, he is going to make $2.85 million. That's going to be what he's going to make this upcoming season. And it always looks a little bit silly when you're talking about $500,000 difference in these, and that's the case, you know, with Andre Pallante, and we still don't have a result on that quite yet. It's even less money than that. I don't like the arbitration system. I don't like the fact that you as a player have to go into a room and listen to your bosses who like to tell you how much they value you. Well, in that situation, they tell you basically how bad you are. And it's a terrible, terrible, terrible thing to go through. And I just wish that it was a system that didn't exist. That being said, it can be collectively bargained out. If they want to change the system, if players were to make that something that they were concerned about and they were to make that a priority and they wanted to change the arbitration system, if they wanted to change it where you just submit information and you don't actually go into it, like, what, there's a million things they could do to change it. If they wanted to change it, they could bring it up during collective bargaining, and it has not changed. So it seems to be something that everybody is comfortable with, despite the discomfort of the actual situation as it ends up taking place. Mentioned to you that a number of pitchers were able to get onto the bullpen mounds today and throw some light bullpen sessions. They didn't throw a lot of pitches as you would expect, but guys will get a bullpen session in or two, and then some live hitting is going to take place coming up later on this weekend. And then you'll have Grapefruit League games coming up next weekend. Next Saturday is the first Grapefruit League game. We'll have it for you here on KMOX, and we are certainly looking forward to that. But things move really quickly when you think about getting into camp and getting pitchers and catchers going through workouts, and very quickly you move as a pitcher. You quickly move from throwing bullpens to throwing live BPs to simulate games and things like that. From a position player standpoint, there's less than a week between when you show up and when you play your first Grapefruit League game. Things do move really, really quick here at the early portion of spring training. I mentioned this with Bernie a few moments ago, but I want to talk about it a little bit more because I do think it is a it's a notable thing that we heard today from Oliver Marmol, where he spoke a lot about Ivan Herrera and the work that he did this offseason, what that could mean for the Cardinals' catching position. We'll talk about that next right here on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Starting to wrap up hour number one of a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauley. In hour number two, we're going to have a lot of fun with audio. We're going to pretty much on an everyday basis while we're down here in Jupiter, we are going to play for you audio from folks like Oliver Marmol and John Mozeliak. Marmol specifically meets with the media on just about an everyday basis. So what we will do is we'll collect that audio and we'll cut it all up and we'll kind of go through what he has to say and give our take and do all of that and give provide some context to what's going on as we take you through all the various narratives that are going on at spring training 2025 here in Jupiter. It was good to get baseball things happening earlier today, and they will continue on. First full squad workout is scheduled for Monday. One non-Cardinals thing, which I had to laugh, and I'm not trying to laugh at somebody's misfortune. That's not really my thing, but Angels third baseman Anthony Rendon is having hip surgery and is expected to miss a significant amount of time. Whether that's going to be the whole season or most of the season, like, it was not really given. This is, if you haven't followed along with Rendon and his lack of ability to stay on the field since joining the Angels, it is ridiculous. If you remember, when he got his contract with the Angels, he was coming off a year with the Nationals where he was fantastic. Had an OPS over 1,000, 34 home runs, a major league leading 126 RBIs. So he got this 7-year, $245 million contract from the Angels. And since then, he has not played in more than 58 games in any season. So there's always been at least 100 games that he did not play in. He has played in a total of 257 games. He's missed 451 games, and he has had 12 stints on the injured list since 2021. He had three stints alone last year, dealing with a hamstring, a lower back, and an oblique issue. And when he was on the field, he was terrible. He hit .218. He did not have a single home run, and in 206 at-bats, he only had 14 RBIs. Here's the crazy thing. In his entire time with the Angels, so again, you go back to that year he had with the Nationals that got him the contract. That year, that one single year with the Nationals, this guy hits 34 home runs and has 126 RBIs. Since joining the Angels, he has 22 home runs and 125 RBIs. So essentially, he has not matched in his entire tenure with the Angels what he did in one season with the he has not been able to match his final season with the Washington Nationals. Seemed like the Angels were moving on from him anyways. They signed Yomanconda to come in to be the everyday third baseman. He signed a $5 million deal, and he's going to be the guy. So, but you couldn't make this up, and you feel bad for Rendon with all the injuries, but this is a guy who, he is getting paid a lot of money to not be on the field. All right, that's it for hour number one of the show. When we come back for hour number two, I've got a couple things to get into. First off, I want to talk about the situation with Cardinals catching. Oliver Marmol talked about that a little bit today, and then we'll jump into the audio with Oliver Marmol and John Mozeliak. That's all coming up. This is Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.